This is Ethan Nicole, and you are listening to We Be Geeks.
You're listening to a We Be Geeks Network podcast.
And welcome to We Be Geeks, your voice of the geek revolution. It is Mike and Marty bringing you episode 84, I believe it is.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
I think I need to put this down on a post-it note.
Something. You always seem like you're forgetting. Like, after we hit, 70, you're just really questionable as to what... It's almost like you forgot how to count past 70, I think.
Well, you've been here more than 21 episodes, so we've been drinking.
Yeah.
So it's
memory loss from all the booze.
But you know, I couldn't do this without.
Yeah. Oh. Are you trying to say he's just a friend?
Oh, baby, you say what?
I think you just play that clip to see the look on my face. It was like, ugh, not again. Not again. I love Biz Markie and all, but ugh, man, he was lost there, I think.
Oh yeah, especially when you get to, oh, really?
Yeah. Oh baby, you!
He's like not even trying.
No.
I'm like, whatever.
Has he ever tried with that song?
Ah, that's true. Good point.
I don't think he tried it in the studio. It's just, let's blurt it out there.
What do you think, you know, here's a thought, you know, with overproduced music and of today's era in the digital age, do you think if Biz Markie were an artist now that they would like auto-tune him, or what do you think they, or would he even get any airplay whatsoever because, you know, of how he sounds? And, you know, then it was kind of raw, and that was how it was recorded. It was tape. You know, you can't really fix it too much.
You could have fixed it then, but
yeah,
it's like,
we get like a better take. It wasn't like he could go in and like really just,
yeah, but but I think back when he was the thing, or one of the things in the rap world, I mean, you either had Will Smith, Biz Markie, LL Cool J, you know, category wise, or you had gangster rap with Ice-T, Ice Cube, whatever. And it was one, you know, one or the other with Public Enemy. Well, not Public Enemy, with Flavor Flav kind of riding that fine line of either way.
Right.
I mean, it's just totally different thing, but.
Well, it just kind of dawned on me. I was like, would that be, you know, especially with all these music shows we get with these people with amazing voices, but disappear.
I don't think he would have made it.
Yeah. Would he have been like William Hung, basically?
Yeah.
is William Hung the current date? Well, I guess not even current. He's like 10 years ago when he had his thing. So it was like, was William Hung's moment of fame the same as Biz Markie's, 15 years before that?
I think so. but who would have thought?
But Biz Markie does have talent, because the man can, he can beatbox and all that. Yeah, he's got the music talent in his head.
Oh yeah,
I want
to say he produces too.
I think so.
So I mean, he's got the talent. It just, it's not there vocally. But then again, you listen to half the crap on the radio now, and it's all auto-tuned.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're hearing people do this and talking and singing, and I'm sorry, it's annoying.
There's a great YouTube clip I seen of like, you know, somebody in the studio, and they're, you know, the new pop star, and like the poor engineers back there like twisting and pulling every knob he can, and like sweating to death, and his hands are like, you know, give out by the time he finally gets to the end of the song, and it's perfect. Yeah,
yeah,
that is music today.
Well, and the whole thing sounds perfect, but then they cut to the shot of her behind the glass, and it's like, oh my lord, there's no way to recreate that live. Studio, you could do so much.
Yeah.
You get on that stage, you have nowhere to hide except backstage. Point blank.
Or you can pull, what was her name? little Simpson.
Ashley Simpson.
Ashley Simpson, yeah. You could pull her SNL bit and then get, hope you didn't get busted like she did.
Yeah, or Millie Vanilli.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah,
everything would have been fine as long as the one guy didn't run off stage.
Or, I was going to say, he runs off stage as long as they didn't talk. Because it seemed like as soon as they talked, like, wow, you guys have really thick Jamaican accents, and we can't hear that at all in the songs.
Yeah, but explain to me how British singers, you know,
it's all in the vowels, and you can kind of sing over that and make that work as long as it's still kind of a, you know.
See, I think
it's pretty easy. I think.
Yeah, that didn't bother me. That, you know, when they did interviews, that their accent was thick. It's like I said, if the person didn't run off stage when it started skipping, it would have been fine. It would just seem like, oh, that's just part of the routine. You know, someone in the band screwed up.
Maybe.
Or the sweetener track had an issue and you guys kept going. I think it would have been okay.
Maybe.
But needless to say, a little bit of housekeeping. First off, support the affiliates on our show, on the site, because they help the shows. And they help us stay free. Of course, Rick's Comic City. Use the code WeBeGeeks and it's 10% off your purchase. Subscription boxes. You have Geek Me Box, Nerd Block, the monthly subscription service of geeky, nerdy goodness. I prefer geek over nerd. Yeah, we've kind of had that discussion with Curtis Armstrong. Sort of what the difference is, but even though they're, best way to put it, I think modern times, Sheldon Cooper, nerd, Leonard, geek,
yeah.
Howard, married and desperate still. Check out Shirt Punch, Nerd Rage, you know, Amazon, all of these places. Go buy, it all comes back and helps the show. If you don't want to do that and you just want to donate to the show, hit the donate tab at the top.
Or just send a nice check and address it to cash and send it to my address, and I will personally take care of that for you, Mike.
Okay. That works too. And then we actually had someone call. You know, we plug it all the time. The Google, our voicemail for Ruby Geeks, 321-219-8227. Well, I had someone, a gentleman, all I could tell from the area code is he's from the panhandle of Florida. So we thank you for listening up there, whoever you are. Next time, feel free to leave your name. It could be just first name. That's fine. But he asked, because I guess he was listening to the Phil Lamar show, or episode, is there going to be a Samurai Jack movie? And, you know, to help kind of tie loose ends. So, being the person I am, I emailed Phil to see if he had any insight, since that show was 2 weeks ago. And Phil's response was, Gendy Tartakovsky, the creator, has said he would like to finish the story as a 2D animated film. So far, there's been no movement yet. So hopefully that helps answer the question. So see, you listen to a previous show, I'll still reach out to our guests, because I'm still in contact with them, and I'll try and get the answers if I can.
You know, and you know, probably one of the things that'll help getting a Samurai Jack movie, because I think I'm with this guy. I'd like to see more Samurai Jack. That'd be awesome. You know, Powerpuff Girls is making a return to Cartoon Network, so maybe if Powerpuff Girls does really well, and same kind of creator, right, and same vein, maybe they'll start bringing back some of Kennedy's other shows and stuff.
So contact Cartoon Network. Contact whoever else owns the rights to Samurai Jack and just flood the email. Don't spam. Don't be mean. Where the heck is my Samurai Jack movie? I was promised a samurai. Be nice. Be polite. Go, yeah, I was a fan of the series. What? Give me a 2-hour wrap up in the form of a movie, please.
Give me something.
Exactly. So,
yeah.
So yeah, man, already 11 minutes in. Well, between 10 to 12 minutes in, depends on how this ends up getting clipped for silence during editing. Lots of news this week. Man, do we have news this week.
Yeah, it's pretty. And you would think that last week's felt pretty big, but also felt like most of the stuff had already come out with Comic-Con. Like,
right.
It was a lot of trailers and teases and stuff like that coming out. And like, it seemed like most of the really big news came out almost a week before Comic-Con. So,
right.
It's kind of funny that a lot of this stuff's coming out now. I kind of figured it would be like a dead kind of period of.
Well, it's like doing a Comic-Con recap is the earthquake.
These are the aftershocks.
And this is the aftershock. So we got aftershock this week. Will we have aftershock next week? Maybe, maybe not. But I guess to get right into things. You like what I did there? Transition.
I see. I heard it, I should say. I didn't see it. I heard it.
Let's start in TV, since that was Batman. You brought to the table this first one.
Oh, yeah. The Big Bang's getting some big bucks. You hear about that? Yeah. They actually postponed the start of the season production because all the stars were holding out for some more cash, new contracts. And at least the big three, Jim Parsons, Johnny Galecki, and Kelly Cuoco, they all got some fat paydays. Like, I think I read it was, they're essentially getting $1 million per episode and plus, you know, back end royalties and things like that.
Right.
So, not a bad little chunk of change for the three main stars.
Let's see, what were they making beforehand? 300K?
Yeah. For the number one comedy on television and that also just got, what, a 3-year extension. So, it's kind of like.
So this is going to take it right to the end because they said they're going to wrap it after 10 seasons.
I think, actually, I did read that they have the option to negotiate an 11th when they get to that point. So that the all three of them have that option in their contract. So, and gotcha. I think that now they're just waiting for, Howard and Raj those guys to get their pay bump to, they get significant.
Get their comeuppance.
So Big Bang, I think they said as soon as they get that worked out, maybe not even work out, cause they've got the three main stars so they can start shooting episodes that I think shooting actually might start today or tomorrow even when this podcast drops. So good news for Big Bang. The only bad thing, I feel bad for the Big Bang. They are the number one comedy, yet they lose their time slot to football for the beginning of the year because CBS bought the rights for Thursday night football
for
the NFL. And so that's going to be on their Thursday night time slot, moving Big Bang to Monday for a while until those games go back to the NFL network. Then they jump back to Thursday. So no matter how big a show you are, you're not as big as the NFL.
Yep. Yep.
Nerd, it's still nerds versus jocks all over again, and guess who wins?
It's our time's coming. hence the geek revolution.
I thought that was particularly interesting. I wonder what they were going to do with that.
So, the geek revolution is strong.
Want to know more?
So, Arrow in this, David Cubitt, who most people know him as Detective Lee Scanlon from The Medium, and he is going to be doing a guest role as Mark Shaw, who becomes Manhunter. Okay. This is the character we know as Manhunter. Being a DC guy, but still, until recently, been in and out of comics. I mean, it's kind of hard, consistently married, now married with a kid, to do so. It's hard to keep up with all the characters, especially when DC changes them all the time. It's intriguing. When I hear Manhunter, I'm thinking Martian Manhunter, John Jones, and it's not it, or John Jones.
He's essentially, Deathstroke, just a slightly different version of Deathstroke is how you can look at Manhunter.
According to the announcement, his character will make his, Starling City entrance. He will be an Argus operative, which of course Argus is associated with Suicide Squad.
Yeah, right? it's got a heavy tie-in with, the Forever Evil stuff that's actually currently going on with the DC Comics.
So,
I can't even tell. Think of it as, another government agency with an acronym.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I couldn't even begin to. I can barely remember what SHIELDS is correctly most of the time. So for me to even know what Argus stands for, it's ludicrous.
Well, I guess Shaw's going to have a tie with Diggle, who is, the right-hand man of Oliver Queen in the series. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Are you at all worried about Arrow having like too many, superheroes and stuff like that these days? Cause it does seem like, I mean, it seems like one announcement after another. There's like, all right, we got another costume. It's like, holy crap. The season's going to be jam full of like the entire DCU.
I personally think that is an okay thing because with, Stephen Amell saying at Comic-Con, Justice League, what Justice League? You're going to have it on TV. I think it's coming. I think we're going to have a Justice League type group forming and could easily get its own spinoff show with the common core, not being Arrow, not being Flash, not being Arsenal, not being whoever extra they bring in from the Flash family, and they could create a, you know, we were saying all this during Smallville, create a Justice League, especially when they brought in Justice Society.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and I think they still could bring in Justice Society at this point in time, if they wanted to, except Dr. Fate's gonna be in Constantine.
Well, they showed
there's a few others.
I don't know if they're actually going to be in it or if that was just an homage. I almost could see that being, I think Constantine being on NBC, I think they're not going to want to play so much with the capes. And I think Constantine kind of works a little bit better when he doesn't play with the capes anyway. So it's to me like it's the same with the Punisher. When the Punisher starts getting in with the capes, it always seems a little odd to me. But when you kind of almost have this other real world aspect to him, he just works better. So, I think that's what their direction is going to go.
Well, like I said, I have no problems with a Justice League series coming. If you got a problem, if you have a problem with it being too much like the movie, oh, it's going to be the Justice League. Yeah, that's the movie. Okay, fine. Give it a different name. You got so many other different names to call it Justice League International, call it Justice League Incorporated, call it whatever. That way it separates from the movie. Obviously you could do
it
that.
I think they'll definitely save the Justice League for a movie title. And with them not wanting to cross over stuff, you know, yeah, you can get allusions to it, but
other than that, give it a new name.
Yeah. Call them the Super Friends.
That'd be a challenge.
That would be. I kind of spotted this in the back of my head. Which existing comic book show are you looking forward to the most in the fall returning? I guess that'd be S.H.I.E.L.D., that would be Arrow, that would be...
Returning or just in general?
Returning. Because I'm also curious which new one you're most looking forward to as well.
I'm excited about Arrow coming back. S.H.I.E.L.D., again, I enjoyed the way it wrapped. Between here, you know, this show and Mighty Marvel Geeks, I've been very opinionated on the show. It ended well. Uprising, you know, with the after effects of Captain America, the Winter Soldier, superb, awesome, great. Getting to that point, I would rework some things. There were some episodes that could have gone away. Arrow's been fabulous. I'm still looking forward to it. Cause now a lot of the flashbacks for this upcoming season, if you've seen any of the teaser trailers, it's no longer on the island. You're still in that 5-year gap from when the ship sank to him coming back to Starling City. But now we're dealing with, I think Hong Kong and his time in the Orient. So that's bringing more of the, I know they killed Shadow on the island, but you know, you're bringing in, I think you're going to see some more of the Longbow Hunter aspect into it. The thing about Arrow is I'm definitely seeing where the writing team and the producing team, when they've talked, the couple times they've talked to Neil Adams, it's definitely a very heavy Neil Adams influenced show. I think a lot of it comes from the Neil Adams, story arcs that he had worked on, up through Longbow Hunters. So, I mean, I'm cool with that. What about you?
I am behind on both of them. So, but I will say both shows towards the end made me more want to get caught up kind of deal. Cause it was like, I saw the pilot episode of Arrow and then I just kind of, I really didn't think the network would have faith in it. So I just like, you know, they'll burn off the episodes and it'll be gone. Shield, I knew was going to be around for a while. I just kind of got sidetracked on was it Tuesday nights when they came on.
Right.
So I'm in the mode of getting caught up and seeing them. I think I'm more interested in catching up on Arrow first.
Okay.
Because of the amount of stuff that they've been showing at like Comic Con, like the new people they're going to introduce, plus then I can also get the backstory on the Flash when his series starts up. So to me, like
right,
not being behind on both of them, I'm thinking Flash or Arrow.
Now, what about coming out?
Coming out,
And we can't do the Netflix shows yet because
that's true because we don't know when
that's next year. Yeah,
right. Yeah, because we're looking at Constantine.
Gotham.
We're looking at Flash. We got iZombie.
Okay.
I'd say that is a comic book.
Yeah.
It's
Agent
on the
Carter.
CW. Agent Carter. That's probably going to be mid-season replacement.
Well, if that's the case, it's going to be, the way that's going to happen. They're going to do 10 episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D. S.H.I.E.L.D.'s going to take a break. Then they're going to go the full season of Agent Carter, which is 8 episodes. Wrap that. And then come back with the final 12 episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
10 or 12 episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mid-season filler.
So the 8 episodes of Agent Carter is still going to cost you on Blu-ray $44.
Yep.
I guess going back to the comic book shows that are currently existing, we're forgetting about The Strain.
Oh, that's true.
We're forgetting
still news, though. Forgetting about Walking Dead.
We're forgetting about Walking Dead. What else is out there on the cable side? I want to say we're missing something else.
Oh, I'm sure we are. Those are the ones that come to mind.
Right.
Top of mind. Of course, you know, for me, like Walking Dead, anytime I'm on board. I'm game.
I think it's so funny that because of the success of the show, Kirkman's finally creating Daryl for the comic book. And it's
I heard this rumor, but I also heard it on April Fool's Day from the internet. And so that's why.
See, I heard it from coming out of Comic Con.
Oh, really? Suspect of it, and that also because in the letters pages for Walking Dead, Kirkman like says, stop asking me when Daryl's showing up because he's not, and so I don't know if he's finally
he might have
know,
to give
changing
in.
His mind or what, but
right. So I guess going back to with what's coming out, the new stuff. We got like we said, Gotham, iZombie, Agent Carter, The Flash.
I think the one that's got me the most intrigued, I think, is going to be Constantine actually, and that's because the trailer that they showed. I'm thinking that some of the horror elements that they're throwing in there, that almost seems super graphic for network television. You know, like that.
You rank it up there with Hannibal.
Or just below
Hannibal's status.
Yeah, Hannibal, I saw the first few episodes of Hannibal, and there was some special effects that they did. It was like, holy crap, they did that on NBC? You know, and it's weird to say that because if I saw something like that on FX channel, I wouldn't, you know, be like, oh, that was cool.
Yeah,
but now that I see it on network, it's like, holy cow, they did that?
A network known for no-budget communications.
Right, right. So the little bit I have seen from that, it looks like the special effects and the gore, they're not toning back that much. And I'm really curious how they're gonna deal with the character and if it's gonna be, I think it's gonna be a pretty good little weekly series to get into. So
I'm actually looking forward to Gotham. Because they're bringing in a lot of the villains who, you know, we've always known them in the Batman world. Majority of them are same age or close to age as Bruce Wayne, aka Batman. Whereas here, I mean, they're 10, almost 20 years older than him at this point.
I think my real fear though with Gotham is them having to tread so lightly on future events that they can't really tell that the stories are going to be limited. Like they're going to be handcuffed as far as, well, we know that these characters aren't going to die, so putting them in these life-threatening scenarios is not thrilling because we know they survive because they're in the future,
right.
And they become,
right.
You know, this character. Or, you know, it's a Smallville thing of like stepping on toes of previous incarnations.
They've already said the series will have nothing to do with the rest of the cinematic. It is its own thing.
True, and they can say that. And Smallville
which
was evident in doing that,
right? Whereas,
but does that mean that people are still going to have their preconceived notions in their head when they're watching the show? And it's like, oh, Batman or Bruce Wayne would never do something like that. Or Gordon would never do something. And it's like, they don't understand that it's kind of a slightly different version of.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like an Earth 2 version or something like that.
Something like that. I mean, they said, you know, this is hit and miss here too. Supposedly Arrow and Flash are part of the same universe as Dawn of Justice, Batman v Superman, Batman Heart Superman, Batman is Superman, you know, however you want to call it.
I'm sorry, Batman Heart Superman, that would love to see that on the poster for some reason. That would just be awesome.
Sharpie coming out shortly.
Find each other on Tinder.
The Twitter romance that developed into a Tumblr. Follow on Instagram. I mean, would it be cool to see further down the road, maybe in a season 5, season 6, Henry Cavill making an appearance on Arrow, Affleck maybe making an appearance on Flash? Yeah.
It would be cool. It doesn't seem like it's going to happen. But then again, things could change between now and then too.
Let's see what Marvel does with S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, you already had Nick Fury. Well, that was kind of a given. You had Colby Smulders. Well, that was kind of a given. Jamie Alexander as Lady Sif. Pleasant surprise.
Although with the DC Warner Brothers side, would you say that would just bring in confusion since they are bringing in a former Superman to be a new character in this one? Do you think that would cause confusion now?
No.
Since that Superman is not essentially into this.
Supposedly, into this continuity. That Superman has been wrapped up.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you know, they pretty much said that. I mean, that was pretty much stated with here is the origin of Superman, Man of Steel, and they came up with something totally new of, oh, he has the ability to save his father, which no one would ever know what it was. Oh, the tornado could have thrown him over that way, the winds, but no, he lets him die.
Yeah,
Two people died in that movie at the hands of Superman. I think they could easily bring Cable on, bring Affleck on. And it's gonna have nothing to do with the previous stuff already out.
Who, if you were a betting man, who do you see crossing over a main movie star into their TV show first? Marvel grabbing someone like Cap or Thor, like not like Smulders is great. Fury's even popped up in there, but we're talking like one of the guys that has a name on the marquee. You like throw Cap, you throw Iron Man, you throw Thor in there, and then put them on S.H.I.E.L.D. Or do you see DC Warner Brothers grabbing Cable or Affleck and throwing them onto Arrow?
I see Marvel doing it first, and potentially with I see it possibly even this season. I would say probably. Rumor has it, Scarlett Johansson and Renner, Hawkeye, could make appearances on the show.
Oh, okay.
I have no problems if they go with Mackie and bring in Falcon on for an episode, especially since they're in a rebuilding.
Right. But that's still technically, you know, while those are major players, not the leads, not the movie leads.
Well, there's still talk of a Black Widow movie.
True.
There was stories, I didn't catch it for tonight's show, but I mean, there's still a story out there that, you know, Black Widow is still in the works. I mean, come on. I mean, she's a big enough star. I mean, she's a lead in the Avengers.
Right, right.
So, I mean, that's a big enough star to draw in. You know, Lady Sif was a substar. You brought her in. You could do this easily with Scarlett Johansson.
Right.
You could do it easily with Hawkeye. Falcon, I think, still the best bet to me, bringing in, especially, well, we get to that when we get to the other news that we have about Cap, you know, later down the road. Yeah, it's, you're looking forward to Constantine. I'm looking forward to Gotham. I mean, the other stuff I'm looking forward to as well.
It's weird. Like, I realize how many genre shows, like big budget, well made kind of genre shows are coming out. It's not like something, you know, made for sci-fi movie or something like that. And I actually found myself looking at purchasing a TiVo so that I could actually try to keep up this season with all the different shows that are coming out. Cause I don't, right now I'm DVR-less and it's kind of hard for me to keep up with all the shows that are out now. So I can only imagine when another month, when the new season starts coming up.
Yeah.
I'm going to be so far behind on everything. You're going to hate me talking about these shows that
it'll be great. I might have talked about them with previous hosts, and so fresh content. It's going to be awesome.
I'll be like 3 years later, like, hey, did you see that S.H.I.E.L.D. episode with, I was like, man, wait, you're the worst host ever.
You're going to come back and go, you know, if they move this here, I'm like, see, told you. It's just like what I said last week with the whole Dark Knight thing. No, Dark Knight Returns. Is I want to see that as a movie. Well, it looks like I'm getting it. And with the news that came out, or the rumor mill that came out this, you know, from last week's show to now, Robin's supposedly dead. That's why there will be no Robin in this movie. He has been killed, or has died. Hello helps add even more to Dark Knight Returns. Even though, you know, he has a female Robin that wants, a female who wants to be Robin, that he's kind of iffy about, it's right there. And they're doing it in a way where, yeah, they put a twist on it, but it's not killing the franchise. It's bringing new, it's helping relaunch the franchise in a different way, which is great. Because then maybe we could eventually get towards Affleck bringing in the end of Bruce Wayne and heading more towards a Batman Beyond.
Bring in Terry McGinnis. How crazy would that be to actually see a live-action Terry McGinnis Batman?
I think that would be great.
That would blow my mind, because that would be one that I'd never see coming.
And then that could be the justification for, you know, the newer style suit that they want to go with most people. Okay, let Affleck turn.
Zombie.
You know, let Affleck help create the Justice League, create Watchtower if they go the Watchtower route. Let him be a Oracle-type figure. You know, I know it's not female, but still. Have him be that mentor and still mentor and financial backer to one of the main financial backers to the Justice League, and let McGinnis take over. And then the Batman we see is Batman Beyond.
I think audiences would go for that, though. I think the comic book audiences would find that interesting, and maybe even the fans of the Batman Beyond cartoon would find it interesting. But I wonder if the average moviegoer would take a Batman that's not Bruce Wayne.
I think so, because they kind of alluded to it at the end of Bane Rises. I mean, Batman, Dark Knight Rises.
They alluded to it, but that's all they did. They just kind of like, he can't do it, but they didn't show it.
But everyone seemed to accept it. Oh, because you heard talks, oh, the next film is going to be Levitt as Batman, or Nightwing, or something.
Right.
So,
speaking of, while we're on the subject of Batman, Superman stuff, do you see the just announced, I guess today, that they changed the release date on the movie?
Told you somebody was going to have to change the date, and it wasn't going to be Marvel.
Are you kind of surprised it happened this early? Because, I mean, both of them had May 6, 2016 as the release of their movie. It was going to be Batman and Cap 3. And right. That, you know, you knew it was going to be a game of chicken. I kind of thought this was going to happen for like another year, maybe year and a half of them still playing chicken with each other. But Warner Brothers already came out and said, no, we're good. We'll take March 25th, 2016.
Yeah, 25th?
March 25th.
Weird
date, don't you think?
See, I read two dates in the same article.
Oh, really?
It said March 26th and then March 25th.
Yeah.
Whatever, it's that weekend. Who cares?
Right.
Do I see it? I think it's stupid on DC's part to move it into the spring. Okay, yeah, it's got a better chance of making its money, but you're taking it out of the summer blockbuster.
Yeah, I think that was a surprise to me because, I mean, all right, January is usually the crap of the crap getting, you know, it's like, we want to try to make some money back on this movie, but we really don't have any confidence in it. So we wait till January, February. Those are notoriously when, like, the.
And that's your Oscar pushes as well.
Yeah, exactly. So these are not the Oscar movies. This is not the Oscar movies you're looking for. These are not the droids. So, but until 300 came around, interestingly enough, with Zack Snyder, right. March was also kind of lumped into that whole, like, 3 month cluster of this is probably not barely going to make its money back months for the movie studios. 300 came around, it got released in March, and all of a sudden March became kind of like this bigger event, or at least an attempt at it.
Right.
And I mean, March 25th, March 26th, that's like the last weekend of March. And then, you know, you got to think Captain America 2 came out the first weekend of April this year and did really big numbers, did really well.
I wonder if that's an Easter weekend.
That may be a factor into why they picked that weekend. Cause March just sounds really stinking early to be thinking that you're in a summer blockbuster competition, you know?
Let's see, 20.
I'm not gonna complain cause that's just a couple days before my birthday. So the happy birthday to me and I get a cool movie, maybe. But, yeah, it's kinda, I don't know. That was my first reaction. I was like, March? Really? That's okay. Right. Sure. Whatever you want to do, guys. And then they also announced that they're locking in dates. They're doing the Marvel thing. They're not telling us any movies, but they're locking in dates. So they got
Easter weekend.
Is it?
It's Easter weekend. That's what, 20,
they're, so they're trying to get the whole 3-day, 4-day weekend out of the box office then.
I know this is going to come out wrong, but just like Jesus, Batman's going to rise again.
Yep.
How many Man of Steel they said was, you know, all the Christian references, you know, him, yeah. Every time he fell out of a awful ledge or whatnot, he looked like he was on a cross.
Right.
So.
Parallels there, but yeah,
Easter weekend. I mean, I still don't know if this is going to be the film for that though.
Is that is Easter weekend really known as a movie going weekend? Anyways,
not really.
Yeah, I can't think of any Easter blockbusters.
but like you said, you know, they did the same as Marvel, and there's release dates. Except, you know, there's two dates on here. That are just titled Warner Brothers event film.
Right.
And, you know, these aren't necessarily DC Comics based.
That's true.
But let's see what do we have. 2016, March 25th, Batman versus Superman. Mm-hmm. August 5th, untitled DC film. Where do they go? Wonder Woman?
That's in it, you know, that's also interesting in that we don't even know which one they're doing.
Yeah.
And, granted, it's still a year and a half away.
Then they got
two years away, actually.
Then they got two in 2017, June 23rd and November 17th. 2018, March 23rd, July 27th, and then November 16th, which is the Warner Brothers event film. 2019, you got April 5th. That's Easter. It's gotta be just like March 23rd. It's gotta be around Easter.
Yeah.
And then June 14th. Oh, just in time for my anniversary weekend with wedding anniversary. Yeah.
There you go.
2020, you have,
three more.
April 3rd. Again, it's gotta be Easter. June 19th and November 20th. So I guess with them picking the Easter dates, they're trying to call that the DC resurrection.
I mean, it's looking like, you know, having the side by side comparison of Marvel's release dates and DC's or Warner Brothers release dates is that, you know, the lack of having anything, this year or next year.
Yeah.
You know, well, these are not until 2016. You know, that's March of 2016, a year and a half away, and that just seems.
And they have no consistency either. Whereas you look at Marvel, 2015, May 1st, Avengers: Age of Ultron; July 17th, Ant-Man; 2016, May, Captain America; July 8th, Untitled; May 5th, Untitled; July 28th, 2017. We're getting into 2017 now. Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Then November 3rd, Untitled; 2018, May 4th, Untitled; July 6th, Untitled; November 2nd, Untitled; 2019, May 3rd, Untitled. So they're consistent. You know, May and June, or May and July, you're going to get a movie.
But that's just because they're, you know, they're going for a summer blockbuster season. You know, I don't know if it's because of the extra day that you get at the box office for doing it on Easter, or if they looked at Captain America 2 and saw that you can open a big movie, in April, have summer blockbuster like numbers, right, that encouraged them to move it up that far.
Right. Well, but I think too, I mean, when you think of the outcry with Star Wars being moved to to December.
Yeah,
it's like,
right,
no, it's a May film. That's a Memorial, right, Memorial Day weekend film. I'm used to having Star Wars. Well, in Disney's world, because I believe the animated stuff is usually for summer for Disney is usually, well, Pixar's now kind of going June.
I think Planes 2, I think, was July, so.
But that's not Pixar, that's Disney.
Ah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, that's all Disney. Disney, usually their normal stuff is near the holiday. Has been. You just know, okay, I get, and if you get an early Disney film, it's going to be, you know, March, April time period, April and then March, April and October, November time period. But you kind of know, okay, this studio, this is what you're going to get. So you kind of get that with here's what we got. Cause what, Big Hero 6 comes out September?
I think it might be even later than that. I want to say it might be November.
Okay, which proves my point. It's a Disney animated feature.
Right.
Coming out in November. Now, it might not be the song and dance, like, I mean, Frozen, but still.
The dates from Warner Brothers are pretty, those are pretty much, I mean, one, they're working around what Marvel's already posted for theirs, so they've got that to work, contend with, and then find their own date. So, but I mean, for the most part, besides the March date in 2016 and 2018, they're all for the most part in that summer. Well, there's the April, 2019, there's an April one, and
right,
2020. But those are all still summertime time period. Well, yeah, those are all summer blockbuster movies or winter blockbuster with Novembers.
If you're going to do that, then at this point in time, go ahead and secure it. You know, we're not going to do the summer blockbuster. Or if you're going to do summer blockbuster, take the June spot. Just be, have the cojones and take the June spot if you want the summer blockbuster. Your second one, do either March at Easter, landlock Easter, or go November like they're doing now. You know, whereas, you know, Marvel's going, okay, May, and then 2 months later, we're going to hit you with another one. And then until 2018 or 2017, then we're going to hit you with three. So,
yeah,
that might be. I still think Marvel is winning, even with the schedule. It's a Marvel win still.
Yeah, I mean they definitely got the choiciest of dates. Now, you know, Warner Brothers has to react to that and then see what's available. Right. And I mean, they're not only competing with Marvel. You also think, you know, you've got to compete with Star Wars for the next
till 2020.
Next 6 years or something like that. So you got that. That's going to be pot. Looks like if they take the November whatever route, then that's every November through from 2015 to 2020 or so. Right. So you got that to compete against. You got God knows what else. So probably be, you know, Terminator getting a relaunch. So I mean,
it's a new name now, isn't it?
What's that?
Terminator has a new name now too.
It does.
That has an official title.
It does. Did you see what it was called?
I did not.
It's called Terminator Genesis, but it's not spelled like you would spell Genesis and get, you know, no autocorrect. It's like some frickin' frat guy or you know, something
like,
spelled
like
it
some,
in the 90s.
Some new company, techno company thing.
Yeah, like, well, somebody else has already called Genesis, so we're gonna change the wording just a little bit. It's spelled Genisys, which I'm sure is trying to get into, like, maybe some sort of, that maybe is the tech company, maybe that starts Cybernet, whatever.
Yeah.
But, what it actually sounds like is somebody, the first thought that popped in my head is somebody was actually dictating Arnold Schwarzenegger talking, and that's how they spelled it, was Genesis, you know, or whatever, however Arnold talks. That was my best joke that I could come up with. That, but, yeah, hey, whatever. That's there. Apparently it's a complete reboot of the franchise. Because you know, if they actually also announce, apparently Arnold had a big announcement in it, and he's even making a cameo in it. But if they announced that he was going to be the Terminator in it, I was already going to not plan on going, because that's just silly.
Yeah. Well, we have a clip from that press conference.
No, I get it. The first rule of Robot Fight Club is you don't talk about Robot Fight Club.
That's right.
So,
want to know more?
How about, we think things are comic book superhero overload now or upcoming. Dude, 2017. A lot's been already said about 2015 having, sequels to Star Wars, The Avengers, Mission Impossible, Hunger Games, Jurassic Park, Fast and Furious, Terminator, cause you got Star Wars Episode 7, Age of Ultron, Avengers Age of Ultron, Mission Impossible, Tom Cruise needs more money, to supply Scientology. The Hunger Games, which is what, the last movie of, was it The Mockingjay Part 2?
Yeah, I was gonna say, they'll have the Part 1, I guess, this year, and Part 2 next year, so.
Thank you, Harry Potter, for that.
I think there's gonna be some new Harry Potter coming. From what I heard, there was a rumor of them, I don't think it would be, Harry himself.
The kids.
But it may be the kids, or some other kids from Hogwarts, or something like that, but basically kind of taking the world of Harry Potter and branching it out.
Oh, so in other words, J.K. Rowling doesn't have an original thought and has to take lead from George Lucas and Disney and Star Wars.
Hey, she needs another summer home, so.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. If they keep making money, they're going to keep making it.
Right. Well, and they also got Jurassic World.
Yeah.
Well, 2017. Man, what a year. Marvel alone has the three dates that we talked about. Mm-hmm. May, June, and November. DC has June and November. Fox has sequels planned for Wolverine and Fantastic Four, which bold going with Fantastic Four when it just wrapped and people still probably aren't going to go see it. And Sony, financial trouble Sony, looking at spinning off a female Spider-Man series. Where else do you go? I mean, is that too much?
You kind of almost get scared of that happening, because we've been talking on the show a lot, like the geek bubble's got to burst at some point. It's just overload. It's not going to burst so much as it just gets filled too heavily and not enough dollars to spread out amongst the franchises.
Well, let me pose this question. Do we call 2017 at this moment the geek Gettysburg?
Just bodies strewn everywhere from different sci-fi projects.
If they do that, man, minimum wage, cost of living, better be close in 2017. If not, Geek Revolution's not going to hold up.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to be a struggle. I mean, we'll still be around, and we're going to be going,
What just came out this week? I forgot.
The third superhero film just came out, and there's bodies strewn everywhere because we can't keep up.
Think about this now. That's just on the movie side. Think about what's going to be on your home screen by then.
Well, and with this, we're not even taking into consideration Episode 8 of Star Wars that fall, or that December, coming out. There's still, I'm not sure when, but you've got Lego Movie 2 coming out. We got Godzilla 2 coming out.
Godzilla 2, yeah.
Is that
Pac Rim 2?
Is all that in 2017? I mean, it's gonna be, we're gonna see geeks explode.
We're gonna see geeks that are going to be selling some of those homeless newspapers because they can't afford to go to the catch up with their favorite fan club anymore.
The zombie apocalypse is gonna be caused in 2017 by the movie studios killing off the geeks, and they're going, brains.
Speaking of that, I think by then there'll be the second Walking Dead, like the Walking Dead spinoff show will probably be on the air by then.
I thought that was coming up, if not this year, next year.
Yeah, I haven't seen an actual release date or anything when they're shooting for it, but there'll be a second zombie show there.
And it's one of those that got hidden in the wake that was called San Diego Comic Con.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I heard any news. I kind of almost
there was a panel, but I I totally missed it.
Yeah. Maybe nothing new got addressed or added. Or maybe we'll hear about it when the new season of Walking Dead kicks up in October.
Because I'm still waiting to hear the news on about this show potentially with the book The Other Dead. Be more about the wildlife. Yeah,
all
from
right.
Digger Mesh, which is an awesome series if you haven't read it. If you can't find the books, go to Comicology. Get it there.
I'm actually also going to be interested in see how The Walking Dead gets edited for network television when it comes to the UPN or the MyTV networks.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to go through all our news here.
What about the... did you see, it's a story that's been around for a few years, but did you see the story about, Rocket Raccoon creator, Bill Mantlo?
Yeah.
Since Guardians is like, you know, huge and everybody's learning or just loving, the Guardians of the Galaxy movie itself, it's kind of a nice point to direct back to creator, that kind of needs help from really fans, I guess.
Well, and of course, with all the financial issues he's run into, I would hope he being one of the creators gets royalties off of this.
For those of you that may not know the story, Bill Mantlo created Rocket Raccoon for Marvel Preview number 7 back in 1976 with the artist Keith Giffen, and surprisingly Keith Giffen actually said that was his first paid comic book work was doing Rocket Raccoon. Wow, that's amazing. And, you know, he's going on to have like a great career, and he's still working for DC right now doing stuff. But I guess it in 1992, Bill got involved in a hit and run accident, and it resulted in like some just tragic brain injury to the point of he has problems reasoning and doesn't understand situations that are going on around him, and has like even like anger control issues.
Right.
And so some of the byproducts. So he's basically kind of, you know, maybe even a blank slate to a degree of some stuff.
Right.
He's basically having to be under constant care, and it's like 1992. That was not yesterday. That's a long time to be hospitalized with this.
Yeah.
He's in a hospital, and of course, you know, there's not really a great healthcare package for comic book creators out there.
No.
So they're basically living off of donations.
That's why go check out Friends of the Site Heroes Initiative. Go give them some love.
Yeah, that's true. They help.
They go out. You know, the money raised at conventions from them goes to help, you know, Bill or others who might need the help. You know, they do what they can.
Right. So there's I think even Greg Pak, who's a huge influence, Mantlo, he's got links on his website to go contribute to his medical expenses and things like that.
Right.
But it was cool. One of the cool parts of the story is Marvel did recognize him. I want to say that they did give him credit in the movie for creating Rocket Raccoon in the credits, which is cool. So that makes me think that they're also maybe giving him some small percentage kickback, possibly, for the movie.
I hope so.
It could be like, you know, a half a percent or something like that, you know, but every little bit can help. But they also did a cool thing where they actually gave him like his own little personal screening, like him and his brother. They set it up in his hospital room, and he got to watch the movie and see his creation come to life in movie form, and it was a pretty cool little gesture for Marvel to do, and you know, kind of looking out for characters that they're now putting into the spotlight.
Right.
I thought it was really cool story. I didn't know that about him, so it was a nice fun facts. Well, I guess not fun facts, but interesting story to come out of that, and if people love Rocket and want, you know, maybe have a couple extra bucks to contribute, you can donate to help out the creator of Rocket Raccoon.
Well, I like what Geffen said, because I always was curious. But he said, remember the old Beatles song Rocky Raccoon?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I think that was part of the inspiration. I think we were trying to do our own version of the Howard the Duck, you know, wink wink, nudge nudge. Yeah, he was a throwaway gag.
throwaway gang that wouldn't go away.
And I always wondered that. So, yeah. So it was nice hearing to see that little bit of confirmation.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that was cool. Now, staying in the Marvel universe some, Anthony Mackie was at, where was he? He was at a convention. What convention was he at? Fandom Fest in Louisville, Kentucky, past weekend.
Oh, that's right.
And, you know, he was asked by comicbook.com if he thought he would ever find himself playing Captain America anytime soon, considering his character is taking over the role in the comics. His answer, according to Movie Pilot, was, as they put it, pretty darn revealing about Sebastian Stan. And this is where I've got some issues. The quote is, I don't know. I mean, I'm excited about it. I think if it goes that way in the movies, that it will take a long time because there's so many evolutions before that. You know, I'm excited to see Sebastian play Cap. I think Sebastian's a great actor, but I love seeing Chris Evans as Cap. So I feel they could go any way they want. I'm enjoying my part beside Cap. I'm in no rush to be Cap. Now they're coming out and saying, boom, flat out, Sebastian Stan is the next Cap. And that it could happen possibly in Captain America 3. To me, I'm seeing it as, you know, I'm excited to see Sebastian play Cap as if he should. Not saying he is, but, you know, Sebastian will make a great Cap because he's been a perfect Bucky Barnes. He's been a perfect Winter Soldier. He would be great in that role because he's done the research, whatever, and that's the evolution. Mm-hmm. But he also comes back and says, I love seeing Chris Evans as Cap. So does that mean they're still going to be, they're going to squeak out more Caps out of Chris Evans?
I think as long as Chris is willing and as long as the salary doesn't get too redonkulous, I think Chris will keep the job. But I think as soon as one of them goes in the direction that's not favorable to both sides, then you've got your replacement. You actually got, you almost go two replacements because you could, right. You know, you could even throw Falcon in there now that he's been introduced and, you know,
right.
And have comic books as of the Falcon being Captain America coming out. So yeah, I think it's kind of like maybe it's covering their basis. And Captain America, is also one of those rare characters in comics where it's not always really just been one guy. Like there's right. been different Captain Americas over the years and, granted, Steve Rogers is the Captain America,
right?
But you could, you know, if you wanted to keep the mantle around, it's not illogical,
right? Well, here's the pros and cons from Movie Pilot, and I'm sorry, it's not our thoughts, but we can give our own thoughts to it. Pro, Stan's been with the Captain America franchise since day one, so a generation of fans already see him as an integral part of the Cap mythos. Okay, that's fine. There's still a big Winter Soldier mythos that you could do as well. You could do other Winter Soldier movies that are back in time, doing, you know, Cold War era, and some of the espionage he was involved with then. That's my input on this. But they say, you know, storylines featuring Bucky donning Cap's outfit have already been written and taken to their logical conclusion. So plot lines pretty much write themselves. Okay, but Winter Soldier, that was taken to its conclusion, and they still kind of twisted it up a little bit, you know, in the movie. So, the con, that same familiar, with people knowing him could work against him, as could the whole villain thing from Captain America Winter Soldier. Also, Stan wasn't actually born in the U.S., so it's not too hard to imagine a pretty substantial vein of outrage at the idea of him playing such an iconic American part.
I'm sorry. And that, you can throw out the window because look at the last Batman, look at the last Superman, look at the last, I'm not trying to think of who else, but like all those guys are Brits,
yeah,
and those are playing iconic American roles. So the only people that are going to care about that is Fox News, and they can go, you know, sit on the fence post.
Look at Rick Grimes.
Yeah, there you go. There's another one. See,
I think their con is just it's something to. I mean, yeah, it helps beef up the article and bring some look to the article. But I think it's a stretch.
Do you remember? I don't know if you're paying attention or reading comics at the time, but when Marvel did the death of Captain America from the Brubaker run,
right,
like 5-6 years ago or so, that the news media picked it up, and they went with like this whole like conspiracy theory of thinking, oh, you know, comic book creators think that America's dead. And, you know, they were basically putting all the symbolism into Captain America, knowing nothing about comics or what actually happens in the world of comics, or especially in the world of Captain America comics. And so it was like, it was just kind of like speaking to somebody that was speaking French and you were speaking English, and there was no way for them to understand what you were saying. So there is that, I guess, fear of some news outlet saying, oh, they're giving it to a non-American. That's un-American.
Yeah. Well, here's the pros for Mackie being in. And I'm going to say this could be taken from the aspect of what Fox is doing with Fantastic Four, which in this scenario could work. Mackie is one of the most warmly received parts of the widely critically lauded Captain America the Winter Soldier. Again, this is movie plot. Obviously, we wouldn't get that overuse of vocabulary to confuse people. So much that an appearance in Avengers Age of Ultron is being predicted by many, which supposedly pictures show him on set. Whatever. Sam is currently Captain America, or Sam Wilson is currently Captain America, and the longer that stays the same, the greater the pressure on Marvel Studios to give the cinema a similar dash of genuine diversity. And again, they say, also, he is currently Captain America.
Yeah, I was going to say, that, but that's the thing, is like, yes, Sam's going to be Captain America in the comics for a while, and there's going to be a new Thor for a while, but as soon as Avengers 2 comes out, it's all going to go back. So,
right. Well,
it's only going to be about a year's time that's going to happen.
But here's what Ken and I discussed over on Mighty Marvel Geeks. Could the move in the comic been swayed by the plans in the Marvel Cinematic Universe? Mm-hmm. Seems very...
It's plausible. You know, it's the fact that, you know, well, Falcon had a huge role in Captain America 2, and all of a sudden became like on people's radars. He was well portrayed. He was made, you know, he was cool.
Right.
So that is a possibility. Maybe he jumped up a little bit because of that.
Right. Now they say cons. He'd be an African American Captain America on the big screen, which could once again to lead to controversy. I disagree here. A black Johnny Storm and a white Sue Storm. There's controversy.
That's not even controversy. That's just confusing. That's just like, what? Now you're adding plot development or backstory that doesn't, that's just taking up more time from you telling a good rest of the story.
If you did a black Reed Richards, that would have been more acceptable with casting than making a brother-sister team two different races.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You can just say, oh, he's adopted, and that could be the end of it, but... Statement about him being a black Captain America, that's funny because there is a story that they did. I'm trying to remember the title of the mini. It was like a mini series.
Well, I was going to say there was a black Captain America in the books prior to this. So
right. So they did one. Deal. I think it was called like, was it Red, White, and Black? Or no, that seems a little too
obvious.
yeah, exactly. But there was I can't think of the name of the series that it was. It was like a mini series that they did, but it was essentially like, yeah, there was a black Captain America, and he was kind of like maybe even trying to cover it up by, you know, news outlets at that time that he was, because I think it was during the 60s. So
I thought it was even later than that. I thought it was like 80s.
They may have done it again, but at least the series that they did was, I think it was, I thought they said it during more of a racially divided country time.
Yeah.
That's what making it much more, a lot more dynamic and a lot more, conflict for the Captain America character.
Now, Ghostbusters 3 might pass the torch to being a all female cast.
Yeah, cool.
But again, there's speculation left and right with, Max Landis has shot down the rumors of Ghostbusters 3. Directors are passing on it left and right.
Is Max Landis attached to it? How's he attached to it? Do you know?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
Bill Murray has said he's not involved. They're aiming to start production at the start of 2015. And while Sony has not set a release date, the guess is it'll happen in 2016. Dan Aykroyd is committed to return as Raymond Stantz, obviously, because he was one of the original writers with Harold Ramis of the story. Though Bill Murray has said no to coming back as Venkman. Ernie Hudson, who played Zedmore, you know, Winston, is a little bit of a question mark at this stage, as he was quoted as saying, there cannot be another Ghostbusters without Harold. Well, you can bring Harold in. Egon shows up as a apparition.
It does seem like there is a desire for more Ghostbusters. I think they just got to figure out the best way to present that.
I would think if you want to do a new Ghostbusters, don't call it 3. Just go ahead and reboot. And if Aykroyd still feels he needs to be a part of it, that's fine. Let him be a part of it. He can still play the same role, but he could.
Not even like a reboot. You don't even have to jettison the old stuff. I would do a reimagining. Yeah, or just what a modern day, like, hey, yeah, that's what that is, things that happen, and as a result of those things happening, here is what the modern day is, and the Ghostbusters are needed again for some whatever reason. Like they've been defunct for a while, and right. Now the originals are too old, so here's the replacements or what, you know, just to...
There's members of Congress who refuse to leave. They need the traps.
It's vacation time for some members of Congress. You don't even have to tell them to get out. They're gone already.
All in favor of vacation?
Gone.
I gone.
Gavel's not even hit yet.
I'm digging the Star Wars news from this week, partially because it influences me a little bit. Bob Iger said Tuesday that, the Walt Disney Company plans for a far greater Star Wars presence in its theme parks. Now, again, presence in its parks. Nothing about a actual Star Wars theme park being built, but the fans are still up and on. Oh my God, we're getting the Star Wars park. No, we're looking at adding two studios, Disney Hollywood Studios, adding two Disneyland. Or maybe California Adventure, one or the other. This was something that was already teased heavy at D23 last year. Most of the rumors have already been said. Indiana Jones is supposedly going away. It's already been talked that what is now cast parking at Disney Hollywood Studios is going to be relocated because Star Wars is moving out into that area. A few other things are being relocated out because they're being moved out to grow the Star Wars section of the park. He made the same comment at the last, a few months ago around this time last year that there was going to be a larger presence of Star Wars in the parks. Okay, great. Give us more info. Don't keep telling us there's going to be a larger presence.
I mean, you're just going to see. I mean, it's also kind of a no-brainer, too. It's like, well, we got the property, and it's ours, and yeah, we're going to do it. So.
Right. So, other than that, let's see. You had something about Young Justice.
Yeah, I just kind of stumbled upon the story that it looks like Young Justice will be returning to TV, but not in the way probably most fans are kind of hoping for, because it looks like that they're going to bring some incarnation over into Teen Titans Go episode. Not sure if it's going to be like, one of the I guess I do like two, 10 or 12 minute episodes.
Yeah.
And then commercial break and come back with another one.
Yeah.
But so they don't, it could be like a whole special, like full a half hour. None of the details. They don't even know what characters it is, but apparently early talks is Young Justice will cross over to Teen Titans Go this coming season.
And it's a shame that the Young Justice is going to have the same look as Teen Titans Go. I mean,
yeah.
I love the old Teen Titans and the stuff, but they just got real campy with this new one.
I'm digging it. And it is. It's not the same show. And you do have to separate yourself from that, but there's some pretty good funny stuff in there too. So
I mean there's some funny stuff, but I just don't like the portrayal of Robin. I mean, that's what's turned me off of it. It's,
really?
Yeah, way too egotistical.
But you gotta have, for a comedy show like that, you've gotta have maybe ungrounded people. Like they've got some basis, but you have to play up that larger larger than life part of them somehow to make the dynamics even funnier, the situations even funnier. So right. I think it's pretty good. You have a foil, especially when they're a superhero team, but they don't really fight anybody. There's rarely that they actually fight supervillains. They got to have some sort of conflict with each other somehow. So
right,
that's just me. It took a while, but I've been digging it and watching it more with the kid here lately.
Right. Well, here, I guess our last story of the show episode. Mm-hmm. 10 recent comics or graphic novels you should be reading now.
I think you posted this on the Facebook page, didn't you?
I did. These are 10 graphic novels that you need to read right now.
Right now.
Which is coming from complex.com.
Do it now.
First one on the list, East of West, from Image, Jonathan right. Hickman's story. Number two, Rat Queens, also from Image.
Right. I think that one just recently got picked up for development for television.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's live action or animated. I'm leaning toward it maybe animated, but still, there will be some Rat Queens coming to television, yes.
Okay. So that's from Curtis J. Weeby. Hey.
I like his name.
Has a ring to it. Third one, Black Science, Rick Remedier writing. Again from Image.
Right. Yeah, that one's that's another one that the first print sold very fast, and I think first issues up to like 4 or 5 prints, and I think almost like second and third issues like that too. It's really hard to find first prints of those ones.
Number four, Fatale.
Yeah, that's a good
from
one.
Ed Brubaker. Again, yeah. Image.
Yep.
Pretty Deadly, number 5, from Kelly Sue DeConnick. Again, Image.
Noticing a theme here.
Battling Boy, publisher, first, second books.
Oh, we broke the Image streak.
And it's written by Paul Pope.
That's Paul Pope. He's got some fun stuff. I think it's like a deal where kid kind of gets powers or I'm trying to remember how the story goes.
According to this, Paul Pope is known for both his out-of-the-box takes on classic superheroes, Batman, Year 100, and excellent creator-owned work, Heavy Liquid. Battling Boy, though falling firmly in the latter category, is a superhero book through and through. The story follows the titular protagonist who has been sent to an Earth-like world called Acropolis by his war god father to learn the chops of becoming a hero. Though young and inexperienced, Battling Boy must face monsters and learn how to control his powers. Sort of an origin story that any Marvel or DC fan can jump right into, told through Pope's dynamic art and whip-smart storytelling.
There you go.
And, of course, you can go through our Amazon link and buy it there. In number 7 spot, Saga by Image, written by Brian K. Vaughan.
Every time I pick up the book, I am reminded how good a comic book series can be. And I've gotten way behind on reading it, but it's a fantastic read anytime I get a hold of it.
Number 8 is Hawkeye from Marvel.
Hey!
Matt Fraction. Number 9 is from writer Scott Snyder, The Wake, which is a Vertigo DC title. And number 10 from Image, Prophet.
Wow.
So Image is pretty much dominating.
The Prophet one's actually kind of surprising because that was a Rob Liefeld property originally.
Yeah.
And they took a bunch of Rob Liefeld properties like Prophet and what else? I want to say Youngblood, and that's the only ones that are popping up in my head right now. Oh, Supreme. And some of them ended in mid-story back a few years ago when Rob, I guess, ran out of self-publishing money. And they took the same number. Like, if the issue, I think, like, Prophet ended like issue 41. So, like, when they relaunched it, they started with issue 42.
Wow.
And some of them would continue that same storyline, like, it never missed a beat, although it may have a different creative team. Some of them went, like, oh, this could be, like, 10 or 15 years in the future. or either real time or even like farther. And I think Prophet was one of the ones where it went way far in the future.
Right.
But that's actually one of the surprises I'll say on the list, because I don't see that popping up on a lot of top 10 lists. But yeah. I hear some decent stuff about it. So
very cool. So before we wrap up, like I said last week, we're going to try and get better about this. This week, it's Marty's turn for our Dark Horse Pick of the Week.
Oh, I thought you were about to play a drop there.
No. Well, I can.
I was fully expecting it, so.
I know it's not a Dark Horse property, but if you don't like that transition.
I guess that'll work. That'll work.
Or all right, one?
So.
Those last
just
year
sounding
from Wonder
more
Woman.
Surprised than anything. Like,
those last year from Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman, okay. So yeah, Dark Horse for books that are coming out for August 13th. They got a few titles coming out. Books that will be hitting the shelves that week: Abe Sapien number 15, Blackout number 4, Creepy. I can't read my own handwriting. Ghost number 7, Lobster Johnson Get the Lobster number 5, Terminator Salvation The Final Battle number 8, and X number 6. 16. Two of those I left off the list that'll be there. Honorable mention is going to go to Star Wars number 20.
This deal is getting worse all the time.
Sorry, Han. You got to go number 2. And I'm only giving you, they're not the pick of the week. It's noteworthy because that's the last issue of the Brian Wood Star Wars issue before they stopped publishing Star Wars for Dark Horse.
So there's only what, two more books left? Because they wrap in what, October, right?
Yeah, I think that there's not much more left coming from Dark Horse of the Star Wars nature. So yeah. this is the beginning of the end, really.
Sealing it up.
Yep. So that's it. It gets honorable mention only because it's the last issue of a great series that it's hard to jump onto.
Yeah.
So it's not good for me to suggest to a new reader, hey, buy this last issue that you're not going to understand because you didn't have the 19 issues before that. So that's why it gets honorable mention. Number one.
Move on.
Dark Ages, number one. That's my pick of the week. Written by Dan Abnett and art by I.N.J. Colbard.
Okay.
It is set in Europe. Picture this. Video. 1333, which is just a fun year to say, 1333. A small army of knights and warriors are kind of making their way across the countryside, and they're in trek of hoping to find war, because when are warriors and knights needed? In wartime. And so that's when they make their money, and they can eat well. And when there's no war, they do not eat well, and then do not make money. Makes sense, right?
Makes sense.
Yeah, so they're going across trying to find a war, essentially. And along their way, possibly one almost falls in their lap, and they're kind of bombarded with what appears to be an alien or two.
Give yourself to the dark side.
Not that kind of alien, though. Oh, okay. A different kind of alien.
Oh, Judah.
Closer, much closer.
Okay.
But, it's kind of like a nice little swords and armor versus aliens from space kind of vibe to it. I think Dark Horse actually compared it with, Starship Troopers meets Kingdom of Heaven. That's the kind of vibe. The creative team of, Abnett and Colbert, they're also the same people that did the new Deadwardians from Vertigo that was critically acclaimed. So, you know the series is actually, you know, it's got some good structure, and I really like they had some nice parallels, because it's like a band of men that sort of have a questioning in faith, especially the leader. He's like, you know, he doesn't want to pray to the gods, because if that prayer comes true, like for war to actually happen and his men to be all right and evil, that means he owes the gods, he feels. And so I felt like there's this nice sort of dynamic of believing in a deity but not wanting to owe to the deity, and then something from the sky falls that could be possibly from a deity when you're from 1333. So
right,
kind of some nice parallels, and I think a nice way to set up the series as to how these people are going to rationalize what's going on with them. So
Very cool. That's
my pick, Dark Ages number one. Go check it out on the store shelves August 13th in your favorite comic shop,
or if you live in an area where a brick and mortar store is not close to you, you can always buy using the code WeebieGeeks through Rick's Comic Shop, or go to Comicology, or not Comicology, I'm sorry, go to
Comicology with Dark Horse.
Go to Dark Horse Digital, I believe it's digital.darkhorse.com, and get the book right there. And once you have it, it's on the cloud, on their cloud the whole time. You can read it on the computer, on your iPhone, on your Android, on your tablets, wherever digital device you have. So I think that's going to wrap it up for us this week.
Cool.
Man, big week, it's the aftershock. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same geek channel. And, so check us out again, support our affiliates on the show or donate if you just want, to help keep the show free and free for you guys and constantly coming. So until next time.
Want to know more?
The bad crowd you've been hanging out with is a science fiction club?
This has been a Weeby Geeks production.
The Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
The Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
The Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Check out the pop culture podcast that everyone is talking about. Follow the show on Twitter at Well Watchers. Listen to the show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and thewellwatchers.com.
Introducing Rebel Force Radio,
your source for the Force.
Star Wars news and commentary
with Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack.
I've seen Star Wars 500 times.
Weekly live shows and podcasts.
Rebel Force Radio.
You are on the front lines of fandom by listening to this show.
Jimmy Mack and Jason Swank usher in a new era of Star Wars podcasting.
Rebel Force Radio.
RFR.
Like Rebel Force Radio on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Stay tuned for special announcements about the Rebel Force Radio official webpage.
Leaving no Star Wars fan behind.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your new source for the Force.
Welcome to the new sound of Sorcerer Radio. Version 3.0.
Sorcerer Radio presents the Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0.
We have the technology.
Check out our brand new Sorcerer Radio app for all iDevices as well as Android devices.
Better, stronger, faster.
Streaming Disney music 24/7. App highlights include a new broadcast window that shows you what you're listening to and what's coming up next.
Hot dog!
Multitasking so you can listen to SR as well as perform other tasks on your iPhone.
Gorge!
Listener access to all of our daily shows. The new interface, a new buffered stream, auto reconnect when signal is lost, visual EQ, pause, rewind, and scrub features.
My goodness!
And the new SR info area. Get your virtual Disney World fix today with the new Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0. From Sorcerer Radio.
Be careful with that. It's extremely dangerous.
SRSounds.com.
Pardon the interruption. I have some news which I believe you will find most interesting.
Would you like to hear the latest in Marvel television, film, and comic book news? Are you looking for some suggestions on what to pick up on New Comic Book Day? Well, join Mike and Ken every Saturday night at 8 p.m. on Mighty Marvel Geeks here on Sorcerer Radio, your source for all things Marvel.
There is a matter that requires your attention.
Mighty Marvel Geeks, assemble!
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?